Bibles, if you will, and turn to Luke chapter number 22. Luke 22, a passage perhaps we're a little bit more familiar with here than most churches. Having just come through Luke and the Gospel of Luke, I want us tonight at the table of communion here in this special service of remembrance to go back to this text. And that's where we're going to start, and then we'll head to one more text here in just my brief time with you. Luke chapter 22. And here in Luke, we're in the upper room. This is the upper room discourse, Jesus with his disciples, and most notably at the Last Supper. And here at the Last Supper, Jesus looks at his disciples, and he's going to say a phrase that I want us to focus in on tonight, right before we partake of the bread. And so if by now you're there in Luke chapter 22, verse number 19. And he, Jesus, took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And as we come to this text, that phrase, "which is given for you," this is the heart of the Christian doctrine, possibly one of the deepest truths that you'll find in the text here. The idea of substitutionary atonement, that Jesus himself goes, "I'm giving me for you, my disciples, my followers, us as believers. I'm giving my body. I'm giving me for you," this substitution, this great substitution. And this is vitally important for us as Christians because the only way to escape judgment is death, whether that is our own death or the death of an innocent substitute. Death is the only way out of judgment. And so for centuries, as we all sat under the judgment and the wrath of God, an innocent had to be sacrificed year after year after year. An innocent lamb was taken and slaughtered. And when we came here to this text, here Christ on this eve of Passover, here at this Passover supper, he actually ushers out Passover, ushers in the Lord's Supper and goes, "Okay, no more of that. I've got a new thing. No longer will that innocent be offered. Now my body will be offered for you. I will be offered, given for you." He says it here. And so we look to Jesus, the great substitute, the great sacrifice, the great atonement for us. And we see that here in this text, Luke 22:19. Peter was sitting there at the table with Jesus. And you've got a picture of Peter there across the table, and Jesus breaks and gives to Peter. And these are the words that Jesus is saying to Peter. That's got to set into Peter's heart, into Peter's mind, as Peter hears Jesus say, "This is my body, which is given for you." We read it as an old text, but Peter's sitting across the table and he goes, "What's happening right now?" And Peter later on writes it in his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." And here Peter gets it, and we need to get it coming into tonight that it was Jesus' body that was given for us, that Jesus gave of his own flesh, his own life, his own dignity even, for us on that fateful day. And Matthew 26 goes on to say, "And when they finished, they sang a hymn, and they left for the garden." And after they sing the hymn and they head out for the garden, you got to catch even the idea there of what's happening, Jewish culture. And I'm just going to pack just kind of this in for you. Singing hymns, this was very natural for the Jewish culture. It was very common that at every Passover dinner, they always sang even through the Passover dinner. Typically, the youngest one there at the Passover dinner was assigned a song that they were supposed to already have memorized, and they sang it while they all partook. And at the very end, they sang Passover hymns. So here isn't atypical for what Jesus and the disciples are doing. As a matter of fact, one of the hymns that is known as the Passover hymn is this great hymn that even tells of the coming Messiah. And Jewish culture is rife with hymns, with psalms. We have psalms here in our Bible, and that was the Jewish songbook. Most of them knew those songs. These were songs that the Jewish people sang along the way, on the highway as they traveled. During temple worship, they sang these songs. They would teach them to their kids. As families, they would learn these songs. And this was all part of their highly ritualistic, tradition-driven culture. They knew the songs. And coming out of Christ saying, "This is my body given for you," and coming into tonight's service, here we go, in remembrance, what was Christ's body given for? I want to go to another song. And it's going to be another song. If you will, turn over to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. And we see here Christ on the cross. And to understand what Christ is saying here on the cross, you have to understand the context of that culture. That this is a song-driven culture. Here in our modern context, if I want you to turn to a specific chapter in the Bible, I say turn to John chapter 3. If I want you to turn over in Psalms, Psalm 22, where we'll go in a moment. But in Jewish culture, you actually would announce just the first line of the song. And then everybody would know the song and they would all join in on that song. You just say the line and everybody knew. And they'd all pull into the song. I think it'd be familiar for us. If I were to say, hey, let's sing Amazing Grace. I don't think there'd be too many people in here who would go, well, how's that go? You'd be right there with me, even culturally, American. If I said, let's sing Happy Birthday, everybody's like, what's the words to that one? No, you know it. It's in there. It's ingrained in us. We've had it from the smallest all the way till now. And so here Christ is. This is the fateful day. And now we're going to draw our minds in remembrance to this moment. Matthew 27, verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And when you come to this text, it's very easy for us to go, oh, he was just screaming at God in that moment. His agony is just so much for him to bear. But for any Jewish listener in that moment, sitting there in front of Jesus, that is going to be a very, very familiar phrase. That phrase isn't going to be just another phrase where he goes, wow, he's just crying out in agony. As a matter of fact, that phrase is going to come from an old song. An old psalm that they all would know, that many of them would know by heart. That as a Jewish culture, when he says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, a rabbi would have sat and said, today we're going to read out of Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Now, I'll ask you to turn in your Bibles. We actually have that song. It's recorded here. Psalm 22, Psalm chapter 22, and this is where we'll spend the last few minutes here. As we speak of Christ's body given for us, and we think of this, this is the song Jesus points, and I know I'm making you turn a lot tonight, but this is the song Jesus points us to help us remember there in that moment on the cross of what he was going through, what he was suffering, what he was bearing. And tonight I think it's fitting that as we come to the Lord's table and we think about Jesus' body given for us, that we go to a text, this prophetic text told in the first person. That is this beautiful song that tells of the suffering of Jesus. It's the very song that Jesus referenced there in Matthew 27. And now we see it. Matthew 27, it is said, this is the, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Hopefully you're there in Psalm chapter 22. And you see verse number 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? As we read down through Psalm 22, I'm going to read several verses and we'll give a parallel from the New Testament. And here's all I want us to do tonight as brothers and sisters. Before we come to the Lord's table, I want you to picture Christ. And this is the pain he's going through. This is him giving of his body for us. And so hear these words, this my God passage here. Verse 2, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. Hear Christ on the cross, has not lost sight of what he is trusting his Father for. If you notice, this is actually speaking verse 3. Christ on the cross, even thinking these thoughts, thou art holy. God's holiness defended there in Christ's own sacrifice on the cross, his substitutionary atonement for us, vindicated that holiness. God was a holy, righteous God. And because of that righteousness, he could not accept sinners. And so Christ must die for those sinners. And here, God, you're still holy. You're holy in spite of what's happening to me here. Verse 6, but I am a worm, no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusts on the Lord. Lord, there is God. That he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. We see this happen over in Mark chapter 15. Mark 15, 29 through 32. I'll read it to you. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that he may see, that we may see and believe. And even they that were crucified with him reviled him. Back to Psalm 22, verse number 13. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. And Christ on the cross, John 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And so they gave him vinegar and he wouldn't drink it. But here Jesus, exactly as this passage says, and as we come, think, meditate with me. This is what our Christ, this is what our Jesus, this is what our Savior, looking at his disciples, looking at us, goes, I'm giving my body up right now for you. This is me letting myself be completely shamed, reviled, abused, mocked. For you, my body given for you. Back to verse number 16 in Psalms 22. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. David's writing this in 1000 BC. Crucifixion isn't going to be invented for another several hundred years. And this is no doubt, a prophetic passage speaking to Christ's crucifixion. Here they pierce my hands and feet. Verse 17, I may tell all my bones. That means I can count them all. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. John 19, 23 and 24. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, speaking here of piercing his hands and feet, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made 4 parts to every soldier apart, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiments among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. And this is Christ on the cross, feeling the shame, feeling the embarrassment, and here even a reference to the indignity as they look and stare upon me. That Christ was stripped, having been beaten, and then there on the cross, they've taken his raiments from him. And with no dignity, the sacrifice has been made. And as we come to the table of remembrance, as we come here, I want our minds to think this Psalms 22 passage just this prophetic passage of what Christ experienced. And let it be in our hearts. Let it be in our minds. This is what our Christ suffered for us. This is what God gave Christ to do for us. This is what he went through that we might find acceptance. All this done for us. And so as we come tonight to the table of remembrance, as they bring the bread momentarily, may our minds, may our hearts be drawn to this. May our hearts be drawn not just in sheer terror at the depravity of those men who executed these things on our Christ, but may they come to a point of gratitude. That Christ, knowing this, the night before, sitting there at the table, he goes, I'm giving my body for you. I'm giving it up. I'm going to suffer. And we just saw that suffering. That knowing that, he still went through with it. That knowing that, he still gave his body for me, for you. That Matthew 20, 28, that he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great substitute, Jesus. We know it came from your mind. It came from your heart for us. And from his own will of obedience, we have been the recipients of so much grace. And so, Father, we thank you for this great substitution that Christ was willing to give himself, even as we see here. and prophecy that he'd be abused, that in the giving of his body he would be mocked, in the giving of his body he would be shamed for us. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that we have a loving Savior who is willing to give all so that we might gain all. Lord, bless us now. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.